Hello, and welcome to the Woman of the Word Revelatory Points of Power podcast, as taught by the Reverend Dr. Audrey Akins, where we share revelatory concepts and biblical principles that may often inspire, challenge, and stimulate you to see God's Word from a deeper and sometimes different perspective. Now for today's word, here's our instructor, Dr. Audrey Akins.
This point of power we're about to do now is intended to summarize what it is that we need to do to renew our minds when we realize that God's Word has transformed us in some area spiritually. We need to learn how it is that we must do to take control of our thoughts and our minds and our old ways and old issues and things that can come up to hinder us spiritually. Through David, we learned one of the key things that God requires of us is that we do take control of our choices and our lifestyles by denying ourselves, therefore taking those steps that prove necessary and take advantage of the opportunities God gives us to be sure that we renew our minds. We learned that one of the things David did so well, even though he made mistakes, was he made every experience become his learning experience. And so even though he made mistakes, he didn't suffer utter defeat. He didn't suffer utter falls. He realized that the hand of God would catch him, would help him. That's why he wrote that steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he shall not utterly fall because the hand of God will uphold him. He learned that, and that's what he used to renew his mind. So we have to realize that we're the ones responsible to make that stretch, to renew our minds. God does the transforming, but we have to be the one to change our ways, to change our mind, to change our habits, to change our whole manner of thinking, and do so in order to line up with God's ways and his thoughts, which are always higher than ours spiritually. So it requires a stretch. Again, if we'd be numbered among those hearts he knows are perfect toward and which God himself can and will acknowledge as being after his own heart, then we must learn to discern the spiritual strongholds that are present in our lives and be willing to pull them down no matter who likes it or who doesn't. In David's case, he found out that when he went to retrieve the ark, that he had done it the wrong way. He hadn't done it according to God's word. Even though God had given him the power to go and retrieve that ark, he still had to submit himself to bring it back home the right way. And because he didn't, he found that that ark had to go back. He had to lose the ark to the man of God that kept it because he had lost his people along the way. And it wasn't until David chose to not get mad at God, but to renew his mind, to get himself acquainted with what it is the word of God required for him to bring that ark back the right way. Then he was able to go and get it. Then he was able to abandon himself with joy as he brought that ark back home. And he danced before the Lord. The word says that he took off his robes. He took off his kingly dignity. And he danced so and worshiped God as he brought that ark back the right way according to the word. And as he did, his wife, Michal, looked out the window and despised him. People are not always going to agree with who it is that we become when we abandon ourselves to what God has done in our lives. But you can't let that stop you. You can't let that turn you. You can't let that make you feel timid in the things of God. What we have to do is we have to learn that once that mind is renewed, our ways are not going to be like our old ways. Our thoughts are not going to be like our old thoughts. They are going to be higher. So, if we fail to adequately deal with these strongholds that can be present in our lives and learn how to cast down those imaginations and high things that will come exalt themselves in our lives against the knowledge of God, then we'll never become obedient in the things that God assigns us to do. He anointed David to be able to bring that ark back. But if he had allowed the despise that he felt from Michal to turn his head back around, to do things the old way, the carnal way, the contrary way to God's word, he would have been in serious trouble. And so it is with us. Imaginations and high things that exalt themselves can totally wear us out. They can cause us to circumvent the things that God has put in place. They can cause us to stumble. They can cause us to fall. They can even cause us to be ready to faint before our due season comes, when we're about to reap what it is that God says. And all this can happen despite the anointings that God can and will give us to overcome. But this is only true, beloveds, if we fail to renew our minds as God's words require. It's very important that we get this understanding. This is one of the major keys to the kingdom that we need to have a grasp on, to learn how to apply to our own lives, to our own entrance in and out of the great doors that God opens. If not, we'll be find ourselves stuck, find ourselves sitting on the side of the road needing to encourage ourselves in the Lord because our friends or the ones we thought were with us want to stone us for some foolishness. Let me bring you this scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6. It says, and I'm going to apostle phrase or paraphrase if you'd like, the weapons of our warfare, they are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God. Why? Because we're given them for the pulling down of our strongholds. How? By casting down imaginations. As we cast down imaginations, what we're doing is we're refuting arguments. We're laying aside old theories. We're avoiding the reasoning and every high, lofty thing that thinks to exalt and sets itself up against the true knowledge of God occurring in our hearts and minds. It is we that must learn to lead our thoughts and not leave them open to someone else. That's why the word tells us not to strive and debate over the word and talk about things that have no true meaning any kind of specificity in our lives that would enable us to grow in stature. We must learn to lead those thoughts and those purposes captive into an obedience to Christ. And when we have a readiness to please Him, it will renew our mind. And as our mind is renewed, we will punish those insubordinate, disobedient thoughts that rise up to overtake us before they can establish a stronghold. When we are the ones that take the reins, that take control, then our dedication to the ways of God becomes intelligently decisive. I know immediately when something is speaking to me that is not of God, that it's adversely trying to influence me, that's trying to confuse the subject, to make me feel like I'm not sure if I'm hearing God or not. All that comes, all of these imaginations, they all come to confuse the voice of God that will speak into our lives. Let me define for you what pulling down strongholds is. Pulling down signifies a complete overthrow. I'm not going to give you the Greek word for it, you know, so you don't get caught up on the pronunciation. Let me give you the significance of what that word means. It signifies complete overthrow, a demolition and a destruction as we press to truly forget those things which are behind us. That's what pulling down strongholds is. That's what Paul said. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, those strongholds, those things about who I was and what I had and what people thought of me and my reputation and my position and my this and my that, all the I's. He said, you got to pull those down. You got to put those behind you. And when you do, you overthrow them. You demolish them. You destroy them as you then reach forward to those things which God lays before us. And where is he going to lay them? In the higher than places. Remember, his ways and his thoughts are going to be higher than ours. So I got to forget, pull them down by forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which lay before. And as we do, it causes an ultimate, utter extinction of those strongholds. Strongholds, what's that? They signify things that are built up in our minds as issues. Strongholds are the residue that are left in us from old memories, old hurts, old arguments, old justifications or excuses. And they claim ground by overtaking us or thinking to overtaking us in familiar faults. Those familiar things that we get tripped up by. They form ruts, mind ruts, I call them, that they dig into and then they reach out to trip you. And they magnify themselves as having the ability to do so because they seem so solidified. They seem to have so much substance. They seem to be positioned and fortified. And worst of all, they seem to have voices that we think we can hear. And they will speak to us and try to overtalk the still small voice that is the Spirit of the Lord. And so they become imaginations. And those imaginations can become dark. And the darker they become, being full of carnality, they become vain. That's the same vanity that Solomon would write about in his expressing the despair he felt when he failed to renew his mind. What about casting down imaginations? Kethareo is the Greek word, but again, we want to focus more on the signification of the word. It signifies the same decisive thought processes. It's a renewing or strengthening of our mind that is required to violently take down, demolish, and completely cast away from ourselves as being done with. Thus, we leave absolutely no room for misinterpreted invitations that entertain any future comeback. That's what cast down means. It means I'm done with that. It's over, finished, no comeback, no life left in it. We've mortified it. We've killed it. We put it under our feet. So it's done. It's violently done away with, and I have no further taste for it. It's like breaking up in a divorce. The imaginations are logismos. That signifies computations, reasonings, consciences, conceited, high, lofty thoughts. All of that is the same, casting our cares. So even the imaginations can be those cares that we hold on to that make us anxious. where the word tells us be anxious for nothing. But those things come make us anxious about where my food's going to come from. Is my child going to be all right? Am I going to be able to pay my rent? You understand those issues, those imaginations, those computations, trying to figure out, being perplexed, trying to figure out how to get out of whatever it is we find ourselves in. And again, the high things that exalt themselves, those high things are hupsoma. Elevated things, abstract thoughts. You know, those thoughts you get, you know, it's like daydreaming. But, you know, sometimes as we sit back and we just allow our thoughts to wander, the next thing you know, we find ourselves worrying over foolishness. You know, because they're abstract thoughts. We don't even know where they came from. They just wandered in, right? But they cause bad attitudes to develop. And they are all meant to misdirect our spiritual altitude. They are attitudes that readjust our spiritual altitude. And so they're very cunning in nature. Those high things that exalt themselves against the word of God, against the relationship that we have with God, against the anointings that he has on our lives. And listen, they also form barriers. That's what that word signifies. They form barriers we feel we can't see through, can't reach beyond, and spiritual heights we can't hope to attain to or overcome. But not so. Because be not deceived. These things only appear so as they exalt or magnify themselves. They have no substance. They have no form. They make themselves appear to have that and make us feel intimidated by what we think we see because they've painted that in our imagination. And so we have to be careful because that exalt themselves signifies, again, they raise up, they perpetrate, they poise, they pose, they puff up and seem to be more than they could ever really hope to be. And how does that gain power in our lives? We give it power because we give them our undue attention. So in other words, as we find ourselves being transformed by God's word spoken over our lives, we must be careful to do that portion of work that is required of us. It is up to us to renew our minds. It is up to us to work within the experiences that our transformation brings. And in those experiences, make them be our learning experiences. Will we make mistakes? Yes. Will we have times where we make the wrong choice? Yes. But learn from that. Learn that I don't have to, if I'm knocked down, I don't have to stay down. Because the word said we're cast down, but what? Not destroyed. We can get back up. Just like those little clowns that we used to have when I was a child, where you'd punch the clown and the clown falls over, but it's weighted by sand, so it pops right back up. That's how we have to be in the spirit. That's what renewing our mind does. It brings us right back to what it is that God says. You know, it's a yeah, but God. And you come right back to that thing. Yeah, I might have messed up, but God. That is the renewing of your mind that we need to be able to do. So in conclusion, let me just give you these last few points. Most of our struggles with what God asks of us occur unseen in the battlefield of our mind. Thus, whatever we choose to give ground to entertain, to allow to rent space in our head and our hearts to become anxious over, will continually spring up to capture our thoughts if we don't pull them up and cast them down. You have to exert your authority. The Lord said, I've given you power over all power of the enemy. There's nothing that he can do that can by any means hurt you. But you have got to be the one that takes the lead, that takes the reins, that thinks to resist the devil because you know you're submitted to God and realize when I resist him, he must flee from me. He can't resist you and make you flee from him. He doesn't have the authority or the power. But if we're foolish enough to continue to believe or act like we believe as we always have, we're going to certainly continue to behave as foolishly as we've always been inclined to do in the past. So too, beloveds, if we continue to think, speak, and behave foolishly as we've always done in the past, then we will continue to get what we've always gotten, for we always reap what it is we sow. By that standard, please know, if we wisely want to see different results, if we want to be that other man or that other woman that has experienced God already supernaturally giving us the power to be, then we can't afford to be like Saul, who we learned that God transformed into another man, yet he rose up to go back to being what it was that he had been in his heart all the time. We must learn, beloveds, the power in rising up, determined, dedicating ourselves to freshly take the reins of control in our ability to change our mind, and then commit to it, commit to being renewed, and turn aside from whatever it is the enemy says unto that which God has already shown us and said and done. Don't allow fear, doubt, or self-sabotage to win in your lives. The mind is that spiritual battlefield, and the place where the enemy always thinks to set up his ambushments. He will ambush you. He will undermine you. He will think to trip you up. He comes to wear us out, and we cannot give him options to express alternative thoughts, ways, and plans into our lives. We should not negotiate with him. We can't make deals with the old tactics of our lives. There is no art of the deal to be had where we give the enemy the idea we might compromise with him. Instead, we have to will to do of God's good pleasure, knowing that he's effectually working in us to do so. And he never asks us to do of his good pleasure on our own strength, but is he working in us effectually that causes us to will and to do of that which we never thought we had the power to do. We're the only ones, beloved, that can determine to stand our ground. We're the only ones. God's not going to do it for you. He's given us the power to do it, to resist the devil, to stick and stay our course long enough spiritually to see, oh, wow, the enemy really did have to flee from me in that thing. We can take back our minds. We can take control in our lives. We can be restored to our ordered steps, even if we've gotten off course somewhere. And we can live free and have that promised life and even have it more abundantly when, right now, here, in this time, as perilous as it may be, God is greater, and so is his grace and his mercies in our lives. God bless you.
Well, this concludes today's edition of the Woman of the Word Revelatory Points of Power. But don't despair, just Selah for a moment, for there's yet more to come. In the meantime, if you would like additional information or to contact us, log on to the website at www.draudreyakinsministries.com. Until next time, we pray that in all you're getting, you get an understanding, so that you too can be empowered and transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thank you and be blessed. This segment is produced by Creative Impact, LLC, with all rights reserved.